Hello and welcome back to the IUFRO Division 3 podcast. I'm one of two co-hosts. Most of you know my counterpart is Dr. Woodham Chung. He's going to sit this one out, but this episode features guests near and dear to myself, graduate students. I will soon be one myself, so I'm excited to highlight the work of these students. So without further ado, I'm with five students from Laval University in Quebec City, Canada. As is common here on the podcast, I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Sébastien Vachon-Robichaud. I'm a mechanical engineering master's degree student, and I'm working on improving woodyard performance using simulation modeling and material flow modeling.
Hello, I'm Jean-Méry. I am a PhD student in industrial engineering, and I'm working about improving the hardwood flooring cutting process.
Hi, my name is Taseda Boukrob. I'm a postdoctorate student. I work on decision theaters and group decision making in the context of community planning.
Hello, I'm Furuh Bossian, and I'm a PhD student here in industrial engineering, and I'm working on designing a forest supply chain considering some uncertainty that exists.
Hello, my name is Suva Gautam, and I'm a postdoctoral researcher at University of Laval. And my general theme of my research pertains to the utilization of biomass for energy production.
Well, that's great. Thank you all very much for making the effort to be on the podcast. One of the key things we're highlighting here at Laval University is our interdisciplinary approach to research. And that's exhibited by all of the different disciplines that we have here today: industrial engineering, mechanical engineering, and traditional forestry. So for today, I would like to discuss your individual projects and what you see as possible industry applications and outcomes. I'd like to start with traditional forestry and with Taseda and move through the supply chain just like wood does, talking about each one of the respective students as wood moves through the supply chain. So Taseda, can you tell me a little bit more about your work?
Sure. I work on how to improve group decision-making for a more sustainable forest management planning in the context of community planning by using decision theaters. Forestry community is composed of many stakeholders like sawmills, and Sébastien will tell us more about it.
So the project I'm currently working on for my master's degree was initiated by discussions with my professors had with some industrial partners. So the sawmill managers were wondering if there was potential solutions for improving their woodyards performance. So my study focuses on two woodyards of the same sawmill site. One being the log yard, where the raw materials are stored and brought to the sawmill. And the other one is the lumber yard, where the sawmill's output products are stored before being shipped. So after they are shipped to clients, some of them might want to transform their products even further. That is exactly where Jean's research is primarily focused at the moment, so I will let him speak more in detail.
Thank you. My current project is actually focusing on manufacturing hardwood flooring. This process involves each piece of wood being cut to produce many smaller pieces at the same time. That's what we call co-production. And for each board, which are our raw material, the system tries to select the cutting pattern that will generate the greatest value. These cutting pattern decisions are made in real time, board by board, by taking into account the characteristics of the raw material. But you know, in hardwood flooring mills, and even more in sawmills, when you are transforming your raw material, you get as well byproducts. I mean, products you don't truly want. And frankly speaking, I don't know what to do with that, but follow the nose.
So Shuruk's project looks like at the strategic level, determining whether there's enough biomass to supply certain biorefinery or not. Having that strategic knowledge is one thing, but delivering the right product to the right customer at the right time, it's quite a bit of a challenge at the in terms of biomass for generation of energy, because as you know, biomass is voluminous, it has low energy density, and it also relies on the traditional forest industry to deliver the product, because we need to use the access roads and whatnot. And so and on top of that, there's seasonality in demand and seasonality in supply. So it presents a very complex problem at the operation level to deliver the raw material to these biorefineries. So we, in our project, we are contemplating using a terminal to be able to deliver the product. And we're developing models to be able to do that. And at the end, the vision is to integrate the short-term models into the forest management distance in what the SEDA has done over the past few years, and then looking at the impact of utilizing biomass over a longer term.
Let's talk a little bit now about how each one of you set up your designs and experiments. Furuk, would you mind going first?
So about the methodology, in fact, the structure of my problem gave idea that which methodology I should select. Because in my project, I have a certain kind of a strategic decision which should make decision on it, and this decision should be fixed for entire of time horizon. Like, we are deciding about where we locate new terminals or new biorefinery, which process should we assign them. But then we fix them. We have lots of different decisions that we should make, like how much is the flow in the network, if we have backhaul flow, how much inventory we should have. But they will be different for each time period, and all of them are based on our strategic decision. So what we are going to use is two-stage stochastic optimization in naming. Then we fix our strategic decision, we have some scenario based on our uncertain parameter. Then so what we do is that we have fixed our strategic decision. We know where we should locate our biorefineries and terminals. Then after, we solve our problem for in tactical decision level to understand, okay, after, if we have this biorefinery, and if this is our demand, what is the best network flow for us? Then we solve our problem for each of the scenario. Then expected value of these are scenario will add to our strategic decision to resolve our problem in order to arrive at the solution, I mean, in a strategic level, in a solution which is optimized in average for all of the scenario that will happen in the future. Because me, I'm not thinking about just, adding new buyer for me. I'm thinking about what about other stakeholders? What about the profitability of them? Because there is no sense to add new biorefinery and forget about the stakeholder, because they are most important part of our supply chain.
And that's a little bit of an unconventional approach, is to think about the entire process, who comes before you and who comes after you, because it's one big supply chain.
Exactly.
It's one big network. Continuing with biomass, Suva, do you want to talk about your methods?
Sure. So going back to my objective, the objective of my project is really to assess the feasibility of having a terminal in the bioenergy supply chain. So my methodology was fairly simple. It was comparing a scenario with a terminal incorporated in the supply chain versus a scenario where a terminal is not incorporated in the supply chain. And we had three distinct set of objectives. So first, we wanted to look at the facility location, where is the most appropriate place to locate the terminal. And second, we wanted to do a network optimization, including a terminal and without a terminal. And then we wanted to get into further detail in the terminal itself, optimize the activities within the terminal. So the biggest thing that we take into consideration, the most important parameter, as it turns out, is the moisture content. So we take into consideration how the moisture fluctuates as it flows through the terminal and how it would have fluctuated if the terminal did not exist. So what we're finding is that there's a big difference between the two scenarios.
So that moisture content driving your decision-making process, is that something that you expected to see in your work, or is that a little bit of a surprise?
Moisture content, I think, has been an important factor related to biomass utilization. It has been talked about, but it was through the modeling I realized the gravity of its importance to see the results and see how moisture content affects the cost. It was eye-opening for myself, but I think it's something that's talked about quite generally, but its importance is not really realized.
Sebastian, can we hear about your methods?
So I used Charles Hempton method, in which you start by gathering data from the given mill, and then I go on by making a material flow model in which you can see between each activity the volume quantified, so that it helps you find which activities are more important. And you measure, for example, the utilization rates of all the vehicles, the distance traveled, and then the final step is to make a simulation model. And recording that data, you can compare different scenarios. So basically, the simulation model is a kind of a virtual workbench in which you can test different solutions and compare them based on key performance indicators that you determine with the industrial partner. What's important for them to measure to be able to compare, for example, if one laggard is better than the other.
I really like the collaboration with the industry there. I think that's a really strong part of your work and valuable as well.
Yeah.
Jean, what about you?
I actually, like Sebastian, I love simulation. So what we propose is to use a simulation combined with an optimization model in order to develop a more proactive approach for output cutting decision making. We are doing it in three steps. So first of all, we are using the true system developed by our partner offline as a simulator in order to create some kind of expected production database. We in fact have trained our system in order to be able to foresee the impact of deactivating or activating some kind of products. And with this information in N, we are able then to establish a production schedule using a linear optimization model that we developed. And this model, or mostly this schedule we are making, is expected in fact to process future boards in a manner that will maximize production value while satisfying your production constraints. So that's our second step, yeah. At last, our third step is that we are using again simulation in order to verify if our methods turns out better than what is currently done. So in fact, our third step is just executing the schedule, but now we are trying it, so we are just executing it by simulating it.
And so you're comparing it to what's currently being produced and seeing, hey, can we do this in a better, in a more efficient way?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's something that's really cool with simulation that I'm experiencing too in my project, is that once the simulation model has been validated and is considered good enough, you can start making different hypotheses and you can test them without them. Like if it's a mistake that you make, well, at least it's just a model, so it's not in the real mm-hmm. life. It's not in real life, so you can make all the mistakes you want and then anticipate what the performance will be later. I think it's something that you experience.
That's right. And what I like in my project is that we are just using the same system as they are using on the production line. It's just that we're taking it, what we need out from the system, and doing it offline. So we can do it many times, but we are sure we have got the same solutions as what is it on the production line. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I like in my project.
To say that, let's hear about your methodology in kind of the traditional forestry sense.
Okay. Actually, the idea is to take advantage on display technologies and decision theater layer. So the methodology is a four-step process. First, we need to identify the issues or the interests of the stakeholders to target, the possible solutions and how to display them on the screens, and how to integrate them to forest management and annual allowable cap models. Then we need to propose a decision process for making trade-off analysis so we can find balanced solutions. And then we need to describe how the decision support tools and visualization tools should be used and integrated for performing the trade-off analysis. After that, we need to describe the staging process of the stakeholders and planners. So we need to know the discussion process And finally, we need to describe the technologies to use to support the decision-making tools and visualization tools. So that way, we can design a decision theater for forestry communities and help them to make better decisions.
Teseda, did you see that you were able to accomplish that? Did you get results that you maybe may not have expected?
Not yet. Actually, it's a work in progress. So right now, I am gathering data to describe how the decision process is made. So once I map all these processes and decision-making tools, I can rearrange them and to improve the decision-making process.
This concludes the first episode with graduate students in the FORAC Research Consortium from Laval University. The next episode will conclude this interview and cover the rest of the results from the students' projects. For more information about this podcast, please visit the IUFRO website at www.iufro.org. IUFRO Division 3 podcasts are produced by myself and Woodham Chung, with support from Faye and Lucille Stewart Endowment Funds at Oregon State University.